listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that gives you access to women who are contributing, inspiring, trailblazing, and disrupting the business of technology. We believe that when women inspire other women, amazing things happen. I'm your host, Allison Wade.
And I am your host, Jessie Sterenshoes, and we are connecting women around the world to share ideas that help us thrive and advance in our personal lives and in our careers.
Be sure to share this podcast with your friends, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and help us bring Women Who Change Tech into the lives of more professionals.
Hold on to your seats as we give you a dose of inspiration from some of the most talented and creative women who are shifting the face of technology. Hey, Allison, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have a cold and I have just been lazing around. Yesterday, I spent the entire day in my pajamas and it felt really good. As you know, I have been 25 days nonstop traveling. And so it was really good just to spend a day in my jammies on the couch. I really enjoyed it.
You completely earned that. I think you should have been on the couch long before the 25th day came to a head. You need to be in your PJs long before that.
That's right. So what about you? What did you do yesterday?
Oh, well, the day turned out a little differently than I thought. So we actually went to the Riverside's art market. My husband's friend owns a company called All of My Pickle, and they were having a pickle eating contest. So he wanted to support his friend, and we were going to watch the pickle eating contest. And like a minute before they were going to start, he comes up to me and he's like, "They don't have enough people. One of the people didn't show up to do the contest. So will you be in it?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, "They need you to be in it. You love pickles, right?" And
I'm
like,
"Come on, right, honey, come on."
So I'm like, okay. So the next thing you know, I'm signing a waiver and they're telling me that I could end up on a stretcher because there's three possibilities of like choking hazards and consuming too much salt. And there's probiotics in the pickles, but if you eat too many, like it might upset your stomach. And there's like a barf bucket. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So then like
scary,
but like, I was like, okay, just a normal Saturday in my life. And so I roll up to the barf bucket and the table and I'm sitting with all these people. And I actually knew one of the people, he actually used to be in an improv troupe with me. So I'm like, it can't be that bad. And then apparently we're supposed to eat like 4 pounds of pickles in 4 minutes. And I really do love pickles, but not that much. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to actually eat this much. So I look over and there's like a guy who's like 7 feet tall. There's another one who apparently like won a hot dog eating contest. And like, there's another guy from
competition.
Yeah, I'm just like, what in the world? So they asked me, how had I been preparing for this? And I was like, oh, I named all my children Pickle. Like, then the competition starts and I look around and I'm like, okay, like, I don't know how I'm going to do. So I just start like, I picked up like 12, maybe 16 pickles from the bowl and just held them all up and started chewing on the ends.
Were you trying to intimidate the competition?
I was totally like, I was like looking at the people to my left and my right and I was like, Josiah! Coming out of my mouth. Like, oh my, I thought, God, like my advantage would just be like to intimidate the other people with like pickle slobber.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's, and hilarious. At the end, then they weigh your bowl, and I had only eaten 0.2. But I looked like I had eaten more pickles than all the other people on the stage.
You shoved all 16, yes. Shoved all 16 in your mouth at once. Well,
they were just dropping. Like, it was.
It oh was, my God.
Yeah, it was hysterical. So that was my Saturday. Is really bizarre, but fun. I had a good time. Anyway.
Oh my God. That is hilarious. Only you, Jessie.
Only me. Yeah. I figure I have, you know, new stories to tell and like two truths and a lie. They're going to be like, what? That's a real story.
You're going to be like, I was in a pickle eating competition. They're going to, I don't know, believe this girl or not.
I'm like, yep, truth. It's true. I did it. That was me.
Awesome.
Yes.
So I'm super excited about talking to Leah James today.
Yes, I cannot wait to introduce you to her and to introduce our audience to her as well.
Awesome.
Hi, everyone. I want to introduce you all to our guest today, Leah James. She is a woman who is a connector. I first got to meet Leah in 2017 through Dave Hoover, who's a mutual friend of ours. She worked with Dave at Dev Bootcamp, and she actually owns her own company called Arenda Agency. She's also a co-host on a podcast called The Human Inclusive, which is a podcast that champions diversity. And we're really excited to have her on our show. Can we please welcome Leah James? Hey, Leah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hi, Leah. Hi, Leah. It's great to meet you.
You too. I'm excited to be chatting with both of you.
Yeah, we are really excited to talk to you today. So before we get started going down, you do so many cool things. I want to hear all about the Human Inclusive podcast. It's such a great name. I love that name.
Thank you.
Can you give our listeners a little bit of background about who you are? I know, if you go to your LinkedIn profile, it says training and development, diversity, inclusion, and storyteller. But can you kind of tell us the story of who you are and what your career path has been and what you do?
Yeah, I'd love to. So those titles pretty much sum me up, but so I do programming around helping companies think differently about how they hire to help reduce the biases in the hiring process, but to also help bring in the right people for the right jobs and eliminate a lot of those gut reactions or gut decisions. And then what do you do once you have them on the team? So once they're there, how do you keep them and how do you create an inclusive environment for that? And I've done that through a lot of different ways. I'd say back when I worked at Dev Bootcamp, I did it from an individualistic position. So I helped people who were exiting the program who were coming into technical jobs for the first time from a non-technical background. I helped them really learn how to tell their story and make it relevant for the career that they wanted and help them use that to then find the places where they could show up as their whole selves and find places that they really wanted to exist in. But in doing that work, I realized that there were still some major blockers for companies in hiring people who had non-traditional backgrounds. So then it took on, how do I help these companies bridge the gap and actually hire these folks so that, one, they're hiring them, but then, two, they're also keeping them? Because if someone doesn't feel like they belong in a company, they're going to leave and find a different opportunity, especially a technical person.
Absolutely. I mean, this raises like two really important questions for me that I think I hear a lot of questions about this in the workplace. And that is, why is inclusion, I'll say them both at the same time and feel free to answer them however you want, but why is inclusion so important to a company or to tech companies or to any company? And then like, what are some of the inherent biases that people have when they're interviewing that they just don't know about? I think everybody has them. It doesn't matter how inclusive you think you are. We've all got biases.
Absolutely.
But do you see some kind of classic scenarios that people always come across?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I'll answer your first question first, which was, why does inclusion matter? So I'm going to kind of go on a little bit of a tangent for a second. I studied public relations in college. And one of the famous cases that we studied in public relations was around the airbag. I don't know if you remember, but in the 90s, the airbag was killing a lot of women and children. And you think that's like a technical thing, right? Well, it is. But think about the people that were building it. They were men that were of a certain stature and height. And they were building cars and airbags and seatbelts to fit their shape. And there was this whole thing overlooked, which were women and children. And so a lot of what was happening there was, because they didn't have different voices part of that process or that project, you ended up with actual like fatal results. So If you think about that in regards to a team, product or service, whatever you're delivering, if you don't have different voices coming through, then you miss holes and you miss opportunities to deliver a product that can reach a lot of different kinds of people. Or you end up like Pepsi that has really inappropriate commercials that are really out of line. Or you end up like, I don't know, there's a million companies, a million different examples I could give. But In order to get that diversity on your team, and really create a space where people are willing to speak up or willing to speak out against something that's being worked on, like people say, how did that make it through marketing, or how did that make it through all of the people it had to go through? Well, probably because someone didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, this isn't actually appropriate, or this is actually really wrong.
Right.
And so that's where inclusion comes in. If you don't have a space where it's safe for people to speak up, then that's not a very inclusive space. And that diverse population that exists, they're either going to stay and keep their heads down and just get the work done, whether they agree with it or not, or they're going to leave and go somewhere where they can be heard. So that's...
And then as a product developer, it's just a matter of blindness. It's a matter of you don't know what you don't know, right? If you... That's the part that's so interesting to me that people overlook in the testing and development world is you don't know what you don't know until suddenly you realize that you've created an airbag around a customer that isn't appropriate. And it can be the exact same thing. That's really interesting.
So inclusion is incredibly important, but it's also really hard to create. And then your second question around biases, we do all have them. We absolutely do have them. And so it's not that we should be ashamed of that. It's that we should be talking about it and recognizing where our biases exist so that we can reduce the biases that come up during hiring, so that we don't hire people that just look like us and sound like us and think like us, because then you have that problem again where you don't have an inclusive space, you don't have a diverse team, or maybe you have an inclusive space for the types of people you've hired, but you're not going to create a space where diversity can exist. And there's a number of examples where our biases come into play in hiring, but one of the main ones is when you see job postings, a lot of times they ask for a certain number of years of experience and a college degree. And one of the training programs that I'm working on right now with a company or a nonprofit called Skillful is around skills-based hiring and how that helps reduce biases, specifically around removing proxies from your job description. So the problem with hiring based on a degree is that that's making an assumption a lot of times that someone who has a degree is a great communicator or a really good leader or has a certain number of skill sets, but it really, like, research shows that it actually doesn't impact whether or not that person has those things. What shows is if you hire based on the skills, regardless of the path they took, then you're more likely to keep them longer and you have a higher rate of successful hires. But we try to hire people that model our experience. And if I'm successful and I got a successful degree from a public institution and I have a bachelor's degree in communication, then maybe I want to hire other people with that same experience because I think that reflects success in team development and communication and whatever else I might think, but that might not actually be accurate. So that's a bias that I might have. Does that make sense? Is that confusing? Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
That part that you said about modeling your experience, it's so intrinsic to our nature. And I was just thinking, reflecting on myself as you were saying that, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Do you keep up with people that were a part of the program at Dev Bootcamp and kind of like, where are they now and what things they're working on, or
oh my gosh,
have they continued their learning or it's the working world?
It's incredible to see what these students have done in the last 5 years. I mean, or less, I guess. I started working at Dev Bootcamp in 2014. And just seeing the amount of success they've seen or change that they've made in those years is it absolutely mind-blowing. And I was actually just telling my co-host yesterday, if I got paid for every email that I got still from students, I'd be so rich.
That's so awesome.
So rich.
Is there anything you could share, like one that just gives you like the chills or like just makes you super happy or frustrated because you still want to help them, or any stories like that?
I'll give you two. I'll give you one that's like, well, they're both sort of celebrations, but one of them is a little bit more of a frustration at the same time. Like this one student, and he going through program, I actually like, if he listens to this, I hope he knows I mean this from the sweetest place ever, but he drove me nuts in the program. he was young and he hadn't really had a career before, and he was very entitled and he thought he just had all the answers. And I was determined to kind of like knock him backwards a little bit.
Right.
Because he drove me so insane. But because also I saw that there was a lot of just opportunity for him, and he's incredibly smart and talented, but he overshadowed that a lot of times with his gosh, ego, I guess is the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was determined he was going to get a job right out of graduation. I'm like, okay, whatever. So 6 months later, he didn't follow any of the things that I had said. And he comes to me and he's like, I just don't know what to do. I'm giving up. I need to maybe just get a different job or different career, whatever. And I sat him down and we like talked through what was going on, what was happening in his job search that was blocking him. And really it was himself. He was blocking his opportunities to talk to people. He wasn't reaching out. He wasn't doing any of the cold outreach I taught him how to do because he was afraid, and he was afraid of rejection. And that was a pretty common theme that I saw through all of my students. And there just happened to be a gentleman who was working out of our office who worked remotely. And he was saying that they were hiring their first junior person. Did I have any recommendations? They were specifically hiring for a DevOps role. And we didn't put out DevOps students, but I thought based on this team, and it was a multicultural team, international, and just the more I thought about it, I was like, man, this student would do so well with this team. And we worked a lot about like his story and how to talk about his past experience and why he went through Dev Bootcamp instead of going to college. And he interviewed and he got the job. And from that, he traveled the world for about a year and a half. And it was so cool to see him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he grew up and he just thinks about the world differently. He was writing and he was just doing such incredible things and thinking about feedback and crucial conversations. And he since has moved back to Chicago and works full time for a tech consulting company. And he checks in with me periodically and he'll write me these like novel length emails about what he's doing. And it just feels so good. You know,
how incredible yeah. that you've had like that impact on him and he wants to keep you like as part of his journey.
Yeah, it makes me feel really special. And then the other one I'll share just because I think it's an interesting story. So there's this woman who probably had the most impact on me when I worked in that role. She was going through a lot of like financial stuff where she was at the end of the program having to live with friends on their couches and trying to do some GoFundMes to raise money even feed her dog. And she lost her car during the program. And it was just, I mean, she went through a lot and she was incredible and she was smart and she worked really hard. She worked with youth in trying to get them into tech. And she kind of had a devil of a time getting a job after the program, which was the hardest thing to watch because I wanted to hire her. You know, like if I could hire her, if I could find a way to hire her, I would, because she is so talented on so many levels, you know, not just technology, but also from a team management perspective or from like a mentorship perspective. And she just has such deep knowledge. But she really had a hard time getting a job. And I would say a couple of years after, you know, she went through doing like some product management, some project management, some development work. And then she finally got an internship at a tech consulting company in Chicago. And she reached out to me and she was like, they offered me this, but I know that they offered someone else from the program who was just the same amount of experience, a full-time job and not an internship. Like, what do I do? And we got to talk through it. And again, like, I just feel super honored that years later, she still reaches out to me for advice and she still reaches out to me to talk to me. And she's super happy in her career now. She's loving her team. She got a full-time job with them. And it makes me so happy that she's found a place that she can call home and that she's embraced and celebrated. But it also just frustrates me that that was her experience and that her experience was so different than some of the men that graduated from the program. When I feel like companies have no idea what they missed out on. And there's your bias. Like there's biases that blocked her.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
But she's doing great now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so often. I mean, we know that there's a lot of unseen bias against male and female coders, and I hope some of that's getting a lot of exposure these days. I know the GitHub was a great example of that. When code was anonymous at one point, more reused code was reused from women. And then when it became profiled and people had profiles, suddenly the use of code written by women went down. And I think it's just because of that general association with the nerdy guy tester. The stereotypical developer right. must be the right person. So that is that classical
Absolutely.
Bias.
And actually that makes me think of, I was having this conversation. So I was in Switzerland last week or the week before, I actually don't remember which day, but I met this couple while I was there and they were pretty early into their career. The woman was about 3 years into her career, and she works at Google, and she was telling me about her experience on her team. She's one of three, I think two or three women on her team. And it was really interesting talking to her because I talk about a lot of this stuff all the time, about biases and about the challenges that people have entering the tech industry that don't look like the traditional expectation of like a nerdy developer, which is not an accurate description of a developer, but it's what we think about, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's what's been marketed to us as well.
She was telling me that, and she was asking all the right questions, but I just haven't thought about it from her level of experience in so long because I've been so deep in like the research side of things and the fixing and the programming and all of that stuff. She was saying that she doesn't know which is worse, the fact that women are leaving the industry, or she thinks women were leaving. She wasn't saying they were. She was saying she feels like maybe women are leaving the industry because it's so toxic, because we get such bad feedback on our pull requests, or maybe people aren't entering because they never saw themselves there in the first place, or they don't see people like them. And I just don't know which is happening, but it just feels like I don't have anyone that looks like me. She's Indian and she speaks multiple different languages and she's young. She went to an incredible college in the States, and now she just feels like she can't speak up because she feels judged or not accepted. And it was wild having this conversation because it took me outside of the work that I do and listening to this person who was going through it and didn't know the facts and didn't know the research or what really was happening, or that those things are really happening, are really impacting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. These are the things that she was intrinsically and anecdotally and not really understanding that this is actually real data out there.
It was really interesting to have that conversation with her. And I enjoyed her openness to share because I don't think she had to share. She didn't know me. She was just like opened up about this experience she was having. And I felt fortunate to be able to hear her story and to be able to rethink about it from someone's firsthand experience.
That's very cool. So tell us a little bit about your Arenda agency. This company name has some cool and deep meaning. Can you tell us what that means and what
you
do?
Arenda, when I was naming my company, I was trying to think about how do I describe what I do? Because I do so many different things, and I work with people and I work with companies. And what I'm trying to do is help people end up in the roles that they can be their full selves and accomplish the most and that really meet their full potential. And I'm helping companies actually accomplish this for the folks that they hire. So how do I name that? And so I was looking up words and different words in different languages and just trying to find something that encompassed that. And I came across this word that is actually, so it's a word from the Northeastern Native American Confederacy, where a bunch of tribes came together to basically establish like their rights. And anyway, this word, it means supernatural force present in all persons by which human accomplishment is attained or empowered to affect the world or change their own fate. And when I found this word, I got goosebumps, which sounds so cheesy, but I felt like, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. I want to help people do this.
I love it.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, yes, hello. We all understand our supernatural force that's present in all of us. And that is what makes us accomplish and attain and be empowered and affect the world and therefore our own fate. Yeah, no, that's really an amazing word. I can imagine that one word encompasses so much.
It's so powerful. And there's like no word in the English language, I think, that expresses those things. So that's where I came up with the name of my company. What was the rest of your question? Sorry, I got pretty hung up on the word.
That's all right. No, it's really cool. So you told us what the word means, but obviously that means a whole lot more to you, and that's your business and that's what you do. So tell us what you do at Arenda.
So I work with companies on just the aspect of how to get the right people in their companies and then how to keep them. Mm-hmm. And that takes on a lot of different form. Like I mentioned Skillful earlier, I work with them on their train the trainer model, where they're training workforce centers on skills-based hiring. And then I work with individual companies doing similar things, from those types of trainings to retention and how to get people to the best potential. So sometimes people don't recognize who could be leaders on their teams. And I got to work with a company a couple years or a year ago, I guess, no, it's 2 years ago, they were struggling to really make sales happen. And I was like, what's going on? This team is super senior. What's happening? And so we did this full evaluation of their team, and they had this incredibly senior team that loved their company, and none of them were talking about it. And the right people that were supposed to be leaders weren't in those leadership positions. They had other people who were very outspoken. I work with companies on solving those problems too, and figuring out where to put the people to make sure that they're doing the things that they love and can bring the most to the team.
That's awesome. And did the Human Inclusive podcast, do you have a podcast called Human Inclusive? Tell us about that.
So Human Inclusive came about because when I worked at Dev Bootcamp entering school, I partnered a lot with ThoughtWorks. They hire a lot of people from different backgrounds that have not as much exposure to technology. And one of their recruiters at the time, he's no longer there, Christopher Guest, he and I did a lot of work together because he hired a lot of my students. And so he was doing a lot of work around diversity and inclusion at the time while recruiting. And we were both a little bit frustrated with the lack of action coming out of talks around diversity and the fact that a lot of those talks were very surface level and it felt like lip service. And so I put together a couple panels that I asked him to be on. And so we did a couple talks together. And then in January of this year, he reached out to me and he said, hey, I want to do this podcast and I want to know if you want to do it with me. And we talked about it, like, what would that look like? What were we trying to accomplish? And what were our goals for it? And we both just really wanted to see progress happen and wanted to see that needle move for diversity work, because it's just feels so painfully slow and what's blocking it. And so we wanted to talk to people about their firsthand experiences and what was blocking them in advancing their career, but then also research companies that are doing it right or say they're doing it right and see if they really are doing it right and what's happening there. And so we decided we're not the experts in this and we're not trying to be the experts. What we want to do instead is amplify the voices of people who are often going unheard. And how do we help them tell their stories or shine light on people that are really making a difference for people who are typically underserved or underrepresented?
So how are you going to find those people, or how are you starting to find them?
Started because Christopher and I have amazing conversations all the time with people, and we get privy to these really phenomenal conversations. So that was part of it.
So that really helps. Yeah.
But then from there, we've gotten, the more we talk about it, we get really incredible introductions to people. So that helps a lot as well. Some of the people I've met in the last year, I just never imagined I would ever be speaking to. And I feel completely just fortunate that they're trusting Christopher and I to share their voices and share their stories and be able to just share space with them and learn from them.
Yeah, that's great. Do you feel like you want to maybe take it into like speaking about it outside of the podcast, like doing storytelling or giving a presentation at some point? Or
yeah, I would love to. I would love to like share the learnings that we've gained from it. We've talked a lot about connecting with some people who have series of events and proposing to curate their inclusion tracks, because we have such a network and because we have these relationships with these people who are really the true voices of the work and should be the ones that are being heard. But yeah, we would love to do more of that and help elevate the people that are really doing the heavy lifting.
Nice.
That's awesome. That sounds like something that could be really valuable.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I know. I just was at our Agile Testing Days in Germany. And one of the evenings we did on Thursday night was a night called Women and Allies. And it was so meaningful. It was mostly women, but there were some guys that came as well. And I cannot tell you how incredible that experience was. There was a woman that gave a talk about how she was different. She was not your normal average person, normal average developer or tester, and how she kind of found herself. And not only that, not your normal average child as well. And the kind of the struggles that she suffered through that and how she became who she is today. And I tell you, there was not a dry eye in the place. She gave
I'd imagine not.
Yeah, she gave like a keynote, which was definitely at that point had like a 50-50 audience. I mean, people just like gave her a standing ovation because it was really incredible, some of the things that she brought to light. And then afterwards, we kind of did some brainstorming and networking together, and we divided the room into like different groups of people. And it was really good. It was great.
That's really incredible. Is that recorded anywhere?
It's not actually, no.
Bummer.
Yeah, no, it's not a recorded, but it's something, you know, we should talk afterwards because this is something that's really valuable that I think we need to work on. So that's a fantastic idea. We should do it. Every podcast, Jesse, we get a new project, right?
I know. That's why I love this stuff. It's chock full of great ideas.
Seriously.
So much fun. It's incredible. Yes, yes, yes to that. So, Leah, what have you been up to lately? I know that you have kind of been moving from place to place and kind of on your own personal journey. How has that been going for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. How do I answer that?
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. So yes, I have been hopping around from place to place, currently in Baltimore, Maryland, but let's see, I have been doing a number of things and still trying to figure out how that like correlates to the outside world and how I talk about these things. Like I've told you all the things I do and the way I work with companies and people. And
do you think that, like, have you discovered that it's more suitable for you to be kind of on the road and remote, or do you think it's more suitable for you to be in an office around other people on a more regular basis? Have you figured out that yet? Or are you still kind of unpacking that and trying to discover what suits you best?
I mean, I think to some extent, I'll always be unpacking that because I love people and I really am energized when I'm around people and I love being around really smart people that just make your brain hurt. But at the same time, I recognize that I'm a very independent person. There are a lot of things that I want to do and there's a lot of ways I want to impact the world and I haven't really found a home in like a full-time career for another company, right? Like I've worked in a lot of different positions and I have a lot of different types of people and a lot of different types of companies. And I have gone off on my own several different times. My first being when I was 25. I started my first business when I was 24 by way of a boss of mine at the time who told me I was giving away too much for free. And since then, I have broken off on my own multiple times because I feel like I don't always fit in within a career or like a traditional career, I guess, working full-time for a company. And maybe that's why I relate so much to job seekers or career changers, because they're just trying to find their place and trying to find their footing. Yeah. And I like the flexibility of being on my own and traveling and being remote and being in different cities. But yeah, I do still miss being in a office with people and being challenged and tested and collaborating. So I think to answer your question, I'll always be unpacking that.
I think people can relate to that. And I think it is what makes you a huge asset to all the people that you work with. Like, I think your journey and your story are so special, and the way that you stay present in everything that you do brings, you know, you bring a lot to every conversation because your journey has been that way that you just described. So I don't think there's any reason to downplay it at all. I think it's a huge asset. You know, there's no reason to be conventional, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's hard to talk about those things. Yeah. Like, I think that's where it becomes challenging is you should have that stuff or you think that
I think it's
people think.
I think it's we think we should.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are listeners and lots of women out there who think they need to fit in this very conventional way of thinking. And yet there is plenty of room for people to make their path just like you're making it. Mm-hmm. And people will understand that that is yet another way that it is certainly possible to be done. Mm-hmm. And it's an asset to have that journey be a path that is recognized and totally fine and an asset. And it doesn't need to be downplayed. So I think it's important for people to hear that and for you to hear that too.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I hope that that also helps other people in figuring out their journey and figuring out where they fit in the workplace. And that I think you even told me this, that it's okay to not fit, that why would you want to fit in if you have other ways that you can contribute?
Yeah, it's okay to be quote unquote impractical and make sense of the nonsense, you know, that we need that. Yeah. We need it. That's important. Yeah. That's a skill in itself, I think. And Allison, I know we think about that in our families and our lives, right? Mm-hmm. Too, like when these things come up that are unconventional, that are hard, and we have to kind of look at perspective and they challenge us, but there's room for those things too, right?
Yes. There's this thing called human inclusion. And
Exactly.
Even the ones that don't fit Elmalt. Yeah, I know. I've had to do a little work recently on that with my tiny human who's now 6'3". But
yeah, so tiny.
Yeah, so tiny. He is, my child is rocking my world. He has chosen a completely different learning path, and it's very unconventional. It's very aggressive and different in terms of what he wants to do and where he wants to be, but he is not going to get there the conventional way. And that's been really hard as a parent, because the whole world tells you there's a certain path that your child needs to follow. And, you know, it's this step and it's that step. And like you said, it's the university degree. It's this, it's that. And that's the clear path. And people are literally horrified. Like when they see the look on my face and they know that my kid was like so academic and such a scholar and like winner of all awards and sorts of things. And then I say, yeah, he's not going to school anymore. And they're like, what? Like, yes.
Like, isn't that what he's supposed to be doing? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's chosen a path that's very direct, and he wants to learn from people that he knows are really already moved into the space that he's already decided he's going to be in.
Good for him.
He's like, I don't have time. You know, it's hilarious because, you know, like when your 16-year-old tells you, Mom, I don't have time to waste. I like need to get there tomorrow. You're like, oh, Lord, slow down. But that's, you know, who he is.
It makes me think of the question that the comment my mom made to me the other day. And I've heard it before. She's not the only person that said it. And it used to offend me, and now it doesn't. It actually motivates me more. But she said, gosh, Leah, you never pick the easy path. Why why do you do everything that is so hard on yourself? Mm-hmm. But I think it's just how I was meant to exist, and like how I show up in the world is that I don't take the path that's already paved, and mm-hmm. I want to explore different things. And there was just a different trajectory for my career than the traditional one. And like I said, in the beginning, when I first quit my very first job and went off on my own, I had an ex-boyfriend that said the same thing to me. And I was so offended because it was like he was telling me that I was doing it wrong, or that I shouldn't do it that way, or that I was messing up my career. And it really hurt, and it stuck with me, and I kind of wore it on my sleeve for a long time. And I think a few years ago, I finally learned that like I just needed to embrace it, and that it was okay because it was creating space for people behind me to do something similar. And it sounds like your son's doing the same thing, which is awesome.
I love this. So I have this postcard. This reminds me of what you just said. And it says, take the road less traveled. You don't have to wear pants. Oh, like, yes. Or you can wear your pajamas.
That is the best.
Right? Is that not like the best? Yeah. So, yeah, we should all take the harder path, because nobody else is there, so we don't have to wear pants.
The pantsless road.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we play a game?
Yes, I like games.
Perfect. So I was thinking.
Does it involve pants? Do we have to be wearing when we play it?
No. We don't have to wear any pants.
No one will ever know, right?
No one will ever know, except for I just said that we don't. Whoops.
Now they're curious.
Pants out of the bag again. Whoops. So I thought we could do kind of a yes and exercise, because I, in a way, yes anding is inclusive, right? It's like, it's about including everybody's contribution. And we can do a game called Good Times, where we reminisce about a fake memory that we have. Maybe we'll do a fake memory on the road less traveled, on a path we've never been on, but we're going to pretend we went on this path before and all the great things we've seen, or who knows. So what we're going to do is we're going to reminisce about it, one line or sentence at a time. It'll start out by saying, hey, you remember when we blah, blah, blah. And then the next person will be like, yes, and we did this, blah, blah, blah. And it's just one thought at a time we're going to build. So each person's contribution will start with yes, and we're just going to stay in the moment. We're not going to block anyone's contribution. We're just going to build off of it and see how crazy it gets and just let it be what it is organically. Sound good?
Awesome. Sounds fun.
Okay. So this is going to be the memory to remember about when we took the road less traveled, pants or no pants. Let's see what happens.
You want me to start this?
Sure. So let's go Allison, Leah, Jesse, Allison, Leah, Jesse. Okay.
Okay.
So remember that amazing time we had when we were in the Palawan Islands off the coast of Philippines and we were swimming in the crystal clear water and we were pantsless because we were wearing our bathing suits?
Oh my gosh, yes. And there was that crazy storm that happened in the middle of it. And we had to find our way into that like crystallized cave that we saw from afar.
Yes. And we all did a great backstroke towards the crystallized cave.
Yes. And when we got there, it was truly incredible because Deepak Chopra was having lunch there.
Oh my gosh. How do I take, where do I go?
Keep going. Yes. And.
And we decided to join in that lunch.
Yes. And we ate spaghetti and meatballs with everyone there listening very intently.
Yes. And we found that day the meaning of life. And it is spaghetti.
Oh, and it's spaghetti.
It is the option of being pantsless and having spaghetti in crystallized caves with people or creatures of unknown species.
Yes. And always do that with your favorite women any day of the year. The end.
What a memory.
Yes.
What
a memory. Deepak. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I wish I was in a crystallized cave.
I know. Can we go do that? Can we go find a crystallized cave?
Now we want to do. Now we're like. Remember that when we were in a
crystallized cave? Remember that? I totally do.
We whispered it into existence.
Yeah,
we did. We totally did.
We absolutely did.
Well, thanks for playing that game with us. That was super fun.
It was a lot of fun. I get to like jot down that memory now.
It sure is. We did it.
Yeah. You don't believe us. Too bad. We were all there eating spaghetti. Duh. So what's coming up next for you, Leah?
Well, I'm just super focused on that podcast, as we've mentioned a couple times. We have our first episode out so far, and it's a two-part series, or two-part episode, I guess. And so we're excited to release twice a month going forward. And we have some incredible conversations that are coming out. So can I share my like how people find it?
Yeah.
Please do.
All right. So humaninclusive.com. Mm-hmm. We're also active on Instagram. So @humaninclusive, or I'm active on Instagram @LeahJames, and that's LIA. Last name is James, like Jamestown, the true Virginian that I am. But yeah, I would say that's like really top of mind and like on the forefront at the moment, because we're just so excited about getting these conversations in front of people.
And it's so important. So we're happy that content's going to be out there for everybody to soak up and listen to. Thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Leah. It was wonderful to meet you.
It was so nice to meet you too, Allison.
And to take that trip to the Palawan.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Let's do it again.
Definitely. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Well, that was really incredible getting a chance to talk to Leah today. I loved a ton of the things she had to say. Her journey is really interesting. A couple of the things that stuck out to me were when she talked about how we all have a bias, whether we think we do or not, and how important it is to reduce bias, especially when were hiring in general. So she's been doing a lot of work around that, whether it was at Dev Bootcamp or Skillshare. She talked about when companies are trying to hire and fill a role, when she talked about it was specifically in tech, how they're looking for a number of years of experience. They're eliminating certain potential candidates that would be a great fit because instead of looking for years of experience, they could be looking for skills-based hiring. So I thought that was really interesting. She also talked about how her mom and different people in her life always say, Leah, you always take the hard path, and how that used to really get at her and get under her skin mm-hmm. and cause her pain.
Yeah.
And it would bother her. And now she started to kind of embrace that and take that on as something good, that she's on a different trajectory and that it's something for her to embrace, and that she feels like she's always on a different path or journey, and that she is looking to help other people that she comes across and that she could mentor who also are kind of carving out a different path. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. And we need people in life that are carving out their own path just like her.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that part about her, about that talk. And I thought that was the really incredibly personally awesome of her to share that, because we all have different paths. And the fact that she shared about the sort of what she perceived as criticism from her close relatives, her parents, it was really meaningful to a lot of people. And I think the whole thing about bias that we get about people who are different and how that affects inclusion, that she's got this podcast called Human Inclusive, which is incredible. And the part that really got to me was when she talked about why inclusion matters for companies, and in particularly for the software industry. I think this is really critical. And she talked about the story of the airbag and the fatal results that the outcome of that caused. And that really struck me. And she talked a lot about using that story as an example, why inclusion matters in companies. And so what if we play that part again?
Which was, why does inclusion matter? So I'm going to kind of go on a little bit of a tangent for a second. I studied public relations in college. And one of the famous cases that we studied in public relations was around the airbag. And I don't know if you remember, but in the 90s, the airbag was killing a lot of women and children. And you think that's like a technical thing, right? Well, it is. But think about the people that were building it. They were men that were of a certain stature and height, and they were building cars and airbags and seatbelts to fit their shape. And there was this whole thing overlooked, which were women and children. And so a lot of what was happening there was, because they didn't have different voices part of that process or that project, you ended up with actual like fatal results. So if you think about that in regards to a team, product or service, whatever you're delivering, if you don't have different voices coming through, then you miss holes and you miss opportunities to deliver a product that can reach a lot of different kinds of people. Or you end up like Pepsi, that has really inappropriate commercials that are really out of line. Or you end up like, I don't know, there's a million companies, a million different examples I could give. But in order to get that diversity on your team and really create a space where people are willing to speak up or willing to speak out against something that's being worked on, like people say, how did that make it through marketing? Or how did that make it through all of the people it had to go through? Well, probably because someone didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, this isn't actually appropriate, or this is actually really wrong. And so that's where inclusion comes in. If you don't have a space where it's safe for people to speak up, then that's not a very inclusive space. And that diverse population that exists, they're either going to stay and keep their heads down and just get the work done, whether they agree with it or not, or they're going to leave and go somewhere where they can be heard.
You've been listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that connects you to extraordinary women for deep, inspiring conversations.